I didn't know that either.
Yep.
I just put them on a hook and toss them. I don't know shit about them. Are we recording? Ooh, adult time. She just turned it up. You hear that? She's like, quit. Quit singing.
Oh man, I'm super excited. Welcome to another episode of Fishy Radio. Today I have with me Dee and Jeannie. We are missing Heather, and we are really missing Heather. Today we are talking about something super exciting. What are we talking about? Everything Jeannie.
Oh!
Jeannie, tell us everything about your life.
Everything.
Where were you born?
You were recording, remember?
Good Lord Almighty. All right.
So you're a local Floridian, Myers. Right? Mm-hmm.
Come from Fort Myers.
Fort Myers.
Grew up in Fort Myers, yeah. Cape Coral, actually. Graduated in Cape Coral, Mariner High School. So I started fishing young before I came, prior to even being able to remember. I remember coming up fishing the piers with my mama's husband. He liked to fish, so we fished the piers in Cape Coral, Mount Lachey, Boquilla, Sanibel. We did a lot of pier fishing. I remember just going out there, and that's kind of basically where I just learned to cast. I mean, I was knee-high to a grasshopper at the time, so I don't know what I was catching, if I was catching anything. I remember catching sheephead and ladyfish and whatnot. But so anyhow, come up kind of doing that
guesstimation, 5 years old
probably. Okay. Yeah, I mean, old enough to remember that I was out there, but not being, you know, not really any details, so I was young. then he got a couple boats, so we started doing the boat thing. He loved aqua sports, and he loved going offshore, so I was probably a little bit older. I remember running out there. I don't remember much about that. You know what I remember about that is hiding in the center console, coming back in the damn rainstorms. I remember about that. I don't remember getting out there. I don't remember fishing. I do remember hiding in the dang console, trying to stay out of that rain and outrunning them storms back to the ramp. I remember a lot of that. But so I come up, you know, fishing a little bit. We did a lot of diving in the Keys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, let's see, I left home about, I was 15, 16 years old. I left home, moved out, did my own thing, focused on my career a lot. And that was what I did. Went to school, graduated school. And then just went straight into working and, you know, having to support myself, do my own thing. So I focused on that. I quit fishing, cause I was, you know, trying to do the career thing. And then I hit about, I'm going to say it was probably about 24, 25. I met a man.
Uh-oh.
Who,
dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just kidding. Wah, wah, wah. So I met a man who fished, and he fished. He was umpteenth generation Floridian, lived here in Punta Gorda. I was still in Cape Coral, lived in Punta Gorda, and that was all him and his family did. He was a fishing guide, hunting guide. His daddy was a fishing guide and a hunting guide. His granddaddy was a fishing guide and a hunting guide, and yada, yada, yada. So I remember he said, he asked me one day, he's like, you want to go on the boat? You want to go fishing? And I'm like, well, you're handsome. I'm down. All right.
So, yes,
that'll
please
be a big 10-4.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go out on the boat, and he did different fishing than what I was used to. So he ran me around Charlotte Harbor a little bit. I had never been in Charlotte Harbor. All my experience had been offshore in a little aquasport in thunderstorms. And so he run me around Charlotte Harbor, and then he run me up in, I don't know, some creek of some sort on these mangroves and, like, shut the boat down. And I was like,
wow, chicken, wow, wow.
Okay, so. I'm like, all right, so this is what we're doing. Like, did the boat break down? What's going on? So he hands me a fishing pole and puts this little thing on the end of it, this little flopping fish on the end of it. And I'm like,
we must have been.
Yeah, we must have been. And it was like 10 inches of water, right? So I'm looking over the side of the boat and I'm like, what in the heck? And he's like, all right, cast your pole. You know, this is where we're fishing. I'm like, we ain't got no water. Like, what do you want me to do with this?
You're in it high
enough. And so he grabs my pole and he throws it up under the mangroves and throws out a wad full of bait. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm catching fish and I'm like, well, hot damn. This is, you know, again, unlike anything I had ever done. So anyhow. Caught fish, blah, blah, blah. So over, heck, I ended up a couple months later, we ended up married. I think we were married for like 12 years. We fished every dang day. Every day. It was bad. It was terrible. So it was so bad that we had this, whoever got home from work first. Mm-hmm. Yep. Would hook up to the boat. The other one would meet at the boat ramp. We'd load the boat and we were gone. Then we pulled in, and every single day that's how it happened. So if I got home first, I'd hook up to the boat, head out to the boat ramp, he'd meet me there, and we were fishing. And then on the weekend, sun
right
up to sundown. I'm telling you what, we did nothing but fish in the summertime, and then all we did in the wintertime was hunt. And mm-hmm. But we fished and fished and fished and fished. And so I just developed over the years just an absolute love affair with fishing. And so that's pretty much
it,
how.
Was it always an inshore awesome. Fishing trip
always,
that you did?
Pretty much, yep.
Always
and,
back
and
in the
mangroves. Like I said, he was umpteenth generation, you know, Floridian. So we were anywhere from... You know, from upriver to Malachay to Sanibel to, you know, the East Wall. There was not a stitch of ground out there that he didn't know and we didn't cover. Placida, just wherever. So we did, we did a bit of the, or he introduced me to, you know, the tarpon and the pass and that type of stuff. So we did all of that. But, of course, we had, you know, our favorite, and that's, you know... but we did a little bit of everything.
So he would captain all day and do charters and then come home and actually fish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
wow, that's
awesome.
Yeah, and it was pretty great. So I was really, really spoiled. I mean, I was you know, to be able to be on the water every single day and then on the weekends and I mean, we'd fish until so typically down the, you know, when we lived down there. We lost our house in Charlie, so we had to go back down there because it was the only place to, you know, the only place that had anything standing left, you know. So, anyhow, we primarily used that public boat ramp there on Malachay, and so we were out fishing until... You know, until our curfew, when the law dog come around and close the boat ramp. So, yeah, that's pretty much where my love affair of fishing come from. And then, unfortunately, ultimately, that ended up not working out. And so I got a divorce, and in the divorce, we had to sell the boat. And
you got a better boat now. So it don't matter.
I'm telling you.
Right?
It actually worked out well. But yeah, right. So then after we got the divorce, I was like, dang, I can't fish. Like, what do I do? So that really sucked a lot. I thought it was going to be okay. And, well, it wasn't. So that was the only thing I could do at that point was, you know, I was divorced. I was broke. I was still trying to figure out my way in life. And the only thing I could do from there was freshwater.
Yeah.
Now, up until this point, I know this is going to sound terrible. I had no idea. Aside from Laco, like, I had no idea that we even had fresh water in Florida. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't care about it.
There's this little thing we like to call the Everglades.
I was, well, that was for frog gigging. Yeah. That wasn't for fishing.
Yeah, you're right.
I was for blowboating. But
some alligator wrestling.
Right, exactly. So... Anyhow, I'm like, oh.
Did you say blowboating?
Blowboating.
You're awesome.
So, I
hey, we should get together and make our own dictionary.
Blowtoad. Tell me, we need a cross reference.
Yeah. We do. We need pictures.
Okay, anyway, you're probably right about that.
It's your side check.
So, anyhow, then I took up freshwater fishing for a little bit, and because it was the only thing that I had access to. And so I really enjoyed the freshwater fishing, but there's
access to. You were going and standing on shores?
I was fishing from shore. I mean, I had, that's all I had now. I'm a single girl, and I'm divorced, and I'm trying to clean up my mess from all of that and trying to rebuild my life. And, you know, I walked away from my marriage with absolutely nothing, so I had to rebuild. So there was no boat. I don't have any family or anything like that. It's just me. So it was
addiction to fishing that you needed to fulfill.
With an addiction to fishing that I needed to fulfill. You're right. So the only thing that I had at that point, or I thought, was the freshwater thing. Mm-hmm. So, as a matter of fact, what happened, and I'll tell you this story real quick. It was Frank. It was Frisch and Frank that got me into that. So I had, I think I had left home in like August or September, and it really tore me up. Thanksgiving was really, really hard to get through. And then Christmas came, and Christmas was tough on me, real tough on me. So I'm one of those people that I constantly have to be learning. Like, I like that mental stimulation, and I'm like a dog. If I ain't learning, I'm gonna start wrecking stuff, you know. So I gotta constantly right, exactly. I'm gonna get destructive. So anyhow, I knew that the one thing that, you know, what I needed to do was I needed to learn something. So I come up to Fish and Frank's, and I walked in the door, and bless his heart, he saw it written all over my face. And I'm like, please just teach me how to fish without having a boat. And he just pushed a whole bunch of stuff at me and said, here, take this, and told me what it was for, and said, hey, here's how to tie a knot. I was very taken care of when I was married. I didn't tie knots. I didn't, you know, not that I couldn't, but, you know, I just didn't have to. He took care of everything, you know. So Frank was like, here's how to do this. Here's how to do that. Go back your truck up to Webb Lake and just sit there and fish. And that's what's going to keep you, you know. So that's what I did. It was Christmas Day. Frank was open on Christmas Day. Like, who knew that? That boy, he just never closes. Yeah. So anyhow, he was open Christmas Day. He gave me all this stuff and said, just go fish. And that's what I did. And that's sat out at the Webb on Christmas Day, and I caught my very first bass. It was about 6 inches long, but it was my very first bass that I've ever caught.
It's a keeper.
And it was a keeper. It wasn't a screamer. By any means did it pull drag. But the lily pad that it wrapped itself around did pull drag. But anyhow, so I was out there, and I was fishing, and that's what made it through Christmas Day. And because of that story or that incident, I grew to have a love affair with freshwater fishing as well. So I did a lot of freshwater fishing, went a lot of places, I did a lot of exploring, and then I was able to buy a boat. And I got me what I think is a really nice boat for me and what I like to do.
What's her name?
So, old gal's name is Jolene. She's a cantankerous old thing, but who I love her more than a monkey loves a new banana. I love that old girl. But so Jolene and I spend a lot of time together. We spend a lot of time together. We spend a lot of time in the harbor, and we do a lot of fishing together. and she gets me where I need to be. And so that's my story.
Have you ever put her on Okeechobee?
I have not yet. I'm scared to death. So I am. I'm scared. What? Listen, it's Why? Easy to lose a lower unit. It's a lot like your country down there. Okeechobee scares me. There's some big old sandbars in Okeechobee that will just... I might lose my entire damn transom in that country. But she has not... Yeah. Now, I've taken blowboats to Okeechobee. Done a lot of blowboating on Okeechobee.
I can't believe you blowboated.
Need...
Really?
Do I not look like the blowboat in time?
No, for those really? Of us, for those of us who do not know what a blowboat is, do they go by a different name?
Airboat. It's an airboat.
Or a sailboat. That's what we call a sailboat.
Yeah. But it's a, it's a
blowboat. Oh, an airboat. No, I can understand that. Yeah. Sailboat.
No, airboat. Yep.
Oh, we need to get together on that.
I'm telling you. But I do a lot of blowboating on Laco, but I have not taken Jolene onto Laco, which I'm really looking forward to. I have some buddies that know Laco like the back of their hands, and I'd love to go out there with one of them and have them show me around.
I respect the fact that you don't want Jolene to skin her knees.
No.
She
you take it down to the Everglades.
Yeah, no. Why? You know, I'd love to take it down to Everglades National Park.
Yeah.
I've
Come on.
Okay, I will.
Let's go.
You show me around. I'll do it.
All right.
Dang sure. I'd love to. Absolutely love to.
I'll bring a headlamp.
Okay.
You got that crossbow still, right?
Yes. Oh, bow fishing. I love to bow fish. Heck yes. That'd be great. But yeah, Jolene, she's great. She runs skinny. Like I said, she's a cantankerous old thing. She's a pain in the ass to drive. She's heavy because she's got that 150 on the back, you know, so she's real heavy, so it's real hard to get her up on plane, put the trim tabs up, you know, put the throttle down, steer, not spill my beer, the whole thing all at the same time. It's
priorities.
It's a real chore, but we make it through it.
I'm sure she's gotten you some real memorable fish.
She is a fish catching boat. She really is. I absolutely adore that boat. As a matter of fact, she's at the dock today because her steering, she was having trouble steering. She's at the dock today, but he got her all fixed up, so I get her back tomorrow. But nice. So it's gotten that bad. Yeah. Like there is a terrible addiction. I can't
it's
even.
It's like
stand.
You gotta have somebody in the hospital.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, every 15 minutes, how's she doing, doc? How's she doing? You know, it's really terrible. I just can't even stand to be without my boat anymore.
Awesome.
But so that's my story. That's how my love affair of fishing come to be. And now it's just, you know, again, it went from no fun because I'm out running storms as a kid on a center console to being fun because that's what I'm doing with my husband, you know, to now it, as much as it's still fun, now it's really therapy, you know. It's therapeutic for me to get out there on that water and just clear my head, and a lot of times
isn't
I'm
it,
by myself.
Isn't it interesting how you can have these cyclical thoughts and then you go out there and you're doing nothing, but those thoughts stop and you're just
right.
calm.
Everything just clears. It's just gone.
Where you have all this time to think, but you're not
right.
Thinking.
Time literally stands still.
It does.
Yeah. You know?
It does.
It's like leaving everything at the dock and then going, you know, and having a marvelous outing. And then getting back to the dock and back to reality again.
Yeah.
Really.
And even if it's not a marvelous outing, like even if it, you know, sucks or something goes bad, it's still a marvelous outing.
You had a few hours of peace.
Yes. Yeah. It's great. It really is. No matter what happens when you get out there, you know.
It's just being in nature, right?
It really is. And just it's being away from the hustle and bustle and just being, you know, just
peaceful.
Getting out there, and it's right. It's peaceful, and it's just it's definitely therapeutic for me, you know. And every time I go out there, it's there's something that I can learn, no matter how long I've been fishing. Every time I go out there, I'm learning something, whether it be learning something about my boat, learning something about a new fish that I just pulled up that I ain't never seen before, because that still happens. There's a lot of shit stuff fish out there in our harbor.
Absolutely.
You know, that you can you can go out there and still pull up stuff that you ain't never seen before, no matter how long you've been fishing.
Yeah.
You know, or something about navigation, or no matter what, every time I go out there, there's always something that I learn.
Oh, yeah.
And
better understanding blips on your radar.
Right. Absolutely. Anything. And again, I'm that person that's constantly got to be learning something in order to keep me happy. So every time I go out there, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent to me, it's always good because I've learned something. Either learn to trim up a little bit higher when you go over that bar.
Slow down.
Right. Or hammer down. Or hammer down. Yeah. When in doubt, throttle
that's
it
right.
out. You know, so there's always something to learn. So even if it's a bad day, it's a great day, you know.
Absolutely. So I've got a lot of respect for you for your independence out on your boat.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. Thank you. I enjoy it a lot. I've come a long way. You know, like I said, when I was married, everything was pretty much done for me. You know, I was taken care of. And I've said it before, you know, I didn't realize how much I didn't know until I had to do it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, it's a boat. You know, I launch them every day. We launch, you know. But when you're actually doing it yourself, it's amazing how much you really don't know. So it's, and it's great to learn, you know.
I don't think anybody stops learning. It just every day is something different.
You're right about that. Yeah. Every day is something different. That is a true story.
Yeah. My dad always said, don't stop learning. Whatever you do, do not stop learning. Once you think you know everything, you stop learning.
Exactly. Yeah. But once you think you know everything, something's going to change. Yeah, exactly. I guarantee you something's going to change.
And that's true. It changes all the time.
Yeah. Yep. It really does. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the respect that you get when you're putting in your boat.
Well, listen, I tell you what, it really is.
We can put a boat in, don't you fret.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's...
I got this.
It was, you know, doing it yourself is it's a scary thing. It really is. You know, again, I've only been doing this myself for it's not even been that long. I've only had my boat about a year. So I've been doing
Jeannie, I got to ask you a question. How long does it take you to back your boat, to back Jolene down the boat ramp perfectly and launch it? How long does it take you from start to finish?
Immediately.
Yeah. Do you hear that, boys?
That's
my God. How many times have you gone to the boat ramp and you have to wait half an hour for one person to launch their boat?
Oh my gosh.
Because they can't get the boat down the boat ramp.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny. And I think that's probably why the respect. I have actually gotten applause. Yeah. I have legitimately gotten applause backing my boat down the boat ramp.
I've got people ask me, Do you need help?
You know, and it's funny because, and as a woman, you can't do this, but you know, you see people that are doing the whole Family Guy thing, you know, all the way down the boat ramp. And all you want to do is
like
be
Ventura,
like,
yes, we fish, right? And we watch Family Guy.
Yeah. And, you know, all you want to do is be like, hey, can I
help
you?
You need me to take care of that for you?
You know that you can't. There is no way a woman can walk up to that man's door and be like, let me help you with this, you know, but you want to because 15 minutes later, you're still trying to launch your boat while Family Guy is trying to get down the, you know, while Peter's trying to get down the boat ramp. But yeah, it is amazing how women do get, you know, and it's funny because I was thinking, you know, kind of a scenario, like you can watch a man, Ponce, for example, okay, so you can watch a man pull into Ponce, and then they, you know, you got to make the turn to get up to the wall there, park your boat, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, you can be standing up there and you can watch these men going, oh my God, what is that guy doing? Like, holy crap, has he never driven a boat before? Like, what are you're going to smash your boat against? Oh my God, look at this.
His tailpipe's underwater.
Right. So, you know, on the
His wife is going to kill him.
Exactly. Well, you know, you can have that exact same scenario with a woman driving that boat and they'll be like, oh no, oh my God, what is this guy? Oh, wait, is that a girl?
Holy crap!
Oh, oh! Wait,
did you see what she just did?
Right, she's got.
She did that pretty fast.
Just turn it to the left. Turn it. Turn it. Look, she's got it. She'll. Oh God! Go get her boat. Go!
Go,
oh,
girl!
Never mind. She's got her. Oh look, she did it. You know, it's just amazing how like it's just so different. A woman versus a man. Yeah. You know, when you're a man, you're like, oh my God, he's an idiot. When it's a woman, you're like, just go help her. Go help. You know, it is pretty cool. So yeah, we do get. It's pretty neat. I was very, very intimidated at first, and then it's just amazing how forgiving men are at the boat ramp.
Absolutely.
So.
Mad respect.
Big time. Big time.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed getting to learn your story.
Thank you.
I would love to hear you elaborate on a lot more of that, including the diving and the son that came out of that relationship as well.
Yeah, he's pretty badass.
Hopefully we can touch on that in future episodes.
Thank you.
So this was another episode of Fishy Radio. We got to learn a lot about Jeannie today, and it was great. Dee and I enjoyed grilling you.
You rock, Jeannie.
thank you.
I'm Alex, and from Dee and Jeannie and I, we all wish you a great rest of your day. Girls, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tight limes.
'Kay, girl. Yeah.